Pablo and Robert Beatty.
Oh, hello, darling. Didn't hear you come in. Been back long?
No, not very.
The heating's gone wrong.
Has it?
Icy in my room.
It seems all right. Yes, it's on.
These books are in a terrible bloody mess.
Want a drink?
Yeah, thank you, darling. What kept you so long? Oh, yeah, of course, old Dr. Ziegfeld. What did he say?
Ziegler. He's very pleased indeed.
What did I tell you? Darling. Darling?
Yes?
Darling, our books are in chaos again. Norman Mailer in the poetry section. Why? And, well, I can't believe it. Sapper? That's for burning. Darling, couldn't Mrs. McIntyre...
Mrs. Higgins. You haven't turned it on.
What on?
The heat in your room.
Oh, really? Plain talk about sex. Next to Peter Pan.
That's mine.
For God's sake.
I've put on 10 pounds in the last 4 weeks.
Have you really?
I was told by Uncle Constantine to show you this.
Uncle who?
Dr. Ziegler, my fellow Estonian.
Oh, the old boy with the funny accent. How long has he been over here?
As long as me, 28 years.
I don't understand this at all. What is it?
It's a blood test, my last one.
Ah. Well, it's all Greek to me, except that I know Greek.
Just read what's written after each item.
Normal, near normal. Sounds like a very dull party.
Oh, and there are under general remarks.
Dramatic progress fully maintained. Further weekly blood counts may be discontinued. Oh, darling, isn't that marvellous? Isn't old Ziegfeld pleased?
I told you, delighted. From now on, I can lead an absolutely normal life.
Oh,
no dieting, no wagon, late nights, anything I like.
That's wonderful.
Wants me to have a holiday, though.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, where are we now? April? Well, 3 months' time, I'll take you somewhere. Oh, I've lost my place now. No, here it is. All right, darling, I'll be about half an hour.
You won't.
Won't what?
Be about half an hour. Mark's due here 5 minutes ago.
Mark? Mark Walters?
Mm-hmm.
No, he's in Hong Kong. Oh, no, that's right. He's back. I spoke to him yesterday.
And asked him to dinner.
On a Thursday? My copy, don't I? Couldn't have.
You did. What's more, you asked him to be sure and come an hour early.
Oh, damn and blast. Why didn't you stop me? Oh, I remember now. I remember perfectly. You just sat there with your vapid smile on and did nothing. Nothing. There's loyalty for you.
I thought you must have an easy one this week.
Easy? 2 sodding professors on Shakespeare's imagery. Easy. Where is Mark? I'll phone him. I'll put him off.
It's far too late, darling.
No.
When he arrives, I'll tell him you've got to meet a deadline. He's a writer, too.
Two? Don't insult me, please.
I wouldn't mind your selling 1 million copies before your publication date and the film rights for 500,000 sight unseen.
I see. Mm. So that's going to be thrown in my face. My novels sell 5,000 and make me about £700 in all.
Oh, shut up. You don't write novels. I wish you did, but you don't. 25 years ago, you wrote a masterpiece and followed it up 4 years later with another.
No, the second was a mess.
It was as good as the first.
It was a mess.
It was only that they all turned on you for not writing Out of the Night all over again. My God, if Mark Walters took his notices as seriously as you did...
Then his research staff and his hack writers would all be out of a job. And Mark would still be a multimillionaire. Oh, God, the injustice of it all. Well, I'll have to work late, that's all. And you know what that does to my bladder?
Oh, talking of novels, darling, are those notes for a new novel I came on in there the other day?
But I noticed that they'd been disturbed. Is there nothing I can keep concealed in this house?
Ah, so you concealed them, did you? Why?
Because I knew that once you got your X-ray eyes on them, you'd be bouncing up and down, clapping your little hands and shouting, "Oh, goody, goody, he's writing a novel."
Well, goody, goody, he is.
No, he's not. Not necessarily at all. He may well decide to give it up because it stinks. Or decide that he hasn't got time for it anyway.
Oh, time isn't important. You can make that.
What utter balls you do talk sometimes. Oh, God.
You go in. I'll explain.
No, no, no. I'd better say hello. Lydia.
Mark, Mark, darling, this is wonderful.
Oh, wonderful for me, too. Just let me get my breath back. Don't they have elevators in Hendon?
Elevators?
Hell lives. As a resident, I should remember. Hello, Sebastian.
Oh, Mark.
Still murdering literary reputations?
Yours is safe.
These days, no one gives me notices. Even my friend on the Cleveland Plain Dealer, who used to find me compulsive, now just says another war tool.
Are these presents?
That's Lydia's.
Oh.
This is yours.
Oh, Mark, you should.
Of course he should. It's his duty to redistribute his wealth. Mine rattles.
Don't rattle it.
Oh, as good as that, eh? Well, I'll open it later, do you mind? I've got a little work to finish off. Lydia forgot it was my copy day.
He forgot.
Oh, look, if I'm a nuisance here, why don't I take Lydia out for dinner and leave you to work?
And how do I get dinner?
Couldn't you scramble yourself some eggs?
Are you mad?
Yes, I'm mad. For a moment, I was thinking you were a normal husband.
Talking of normal, Mark, do you remember that little scare we had about the old girl before you went off? You remember, she had too many white thingamies chasing too many red ones in her old bloodstream.
Less of the old, please.
Darling, we must face facts.
I'll face the fact that I'm a year younger than you, all right?
No need to get ugly, darling. Well, for a time, things got even worse.
I know.
How do you know? You've been in Hong Kong.
There is a postal service, even in Hong Kong.
You write to each other. How extraordinary. Well, anyway, after a time, things got better and better. And today, she's had her final clearance. A piece of paper with normal written all over it. Show it to him, darling. Mm. And what's more, she's put on 20 pounds.
Oh, 10, 9, really.
Well, that's great, Lydia.
No, but she shouldn't have written to you, Mark, and bothered you.
I like being bothered.
I don't write and tell you about my bladder trouble, do I?
No. How is your bladder trouble?
Absolutely terrible. Sometimes I sit in there screaming.
Screaming what?
For someone to care. You look terrible.
I know. I always do.
Why don't you look like your heroes?
If I did, I'd write about heroes who look like me, and I wouldn't sell.
I often think if you'd had any education, you might actually write.
If I'd had any education, I'd know I couldn't.
Darling, fill this up, would you, and then get Mark a drink.
How's Joey?
Oh, he's doing wonderfully well, Mark.
Wonderfully well? He has an unpaid job at the headquarters of a crypto-fascist political organization called the Liberal Party.
He's only unpaid now. After the by-election, they're going to pay him.
30 pieces of silver, I should think. Helping to split the left and let the Tories in. My own son, Mark. My own son.
He's earned £300, Mark, for a television play he's written. Isn't that marvelous? That's more than his father earned at 20.
Thank you, darling. The BBC Two series for which this piece of pseudo-Kafka crap was written, Mark, happens to be limited to plays by authors under 21.
It's still an achievement, and you ought to be proud.
Oh, well, I am very. Oh. It's a touch too much water, darling.
Well, when's this play being done?
Tomorrow at 10:30.
Prime viewing time.
I'll try to get to watch it.
Oh, don't.
Oh, you wouldn't come and watch it here with us, would you?
Darling, what a thing to ask the poor man.
It's only he could see Joey, too. He's coming up from his by-election, especially to watch it with us. Now, don't you think that's rather sweet of him when he could have seen it with his friends?
I think it's wise. He knows we've got to like it.
Damn you, damn you.
Forgive her, Mark. She's been worrying too much about her blood thingamies, and it's made her a bit hysterical lately.
Oh, go on, work.
Yes, darling, I'm just going.
Would you, Mark? I know it's an awful thing to ask, but Joey would be thrilled out of his mind.
Out of his what?
I'd love to.
Good God.
Tell me, please, that I've come for no reason.
You've come, Mark. And I'm eternally grateful. Well, perhaps not eternally. About a year, if my library books are right. What do you want to drink?
Anything.
I went out and bought a bottle of bourbon.
Okay, bourbon. But this blood test, is this a lie, then?
No, not quite. The test is genuine enough. Do you know anything about blood counts?
Well, since I got your first letter, I had one of my research team.
Darling Marcus Waltz. Darling Mark Walters.
Oh, hell, I'm not intelligent enough to research for myself. No, I told this guy it was for a character in a book. Now, I got some figures here.
For what?
Acute lymphocytosis?
Say leukemia. It's a prettier word.
I'm not taking self-pity from you yet.
Unkind, but justified. I drag you halfway across the world because I'm sorry for myself and have to talk to someone. That's self-pity, all right. I hope you had other reasons for coming.
What? Yes, plenty of reasons. But these figures don't fit.
No.
They don't fit with, leukemia.
No. Nor do they fit with the word normal, which Uncle Constantine has so sweetly typed in.
No, they're all above normal.
Quite a bit above?
Well, yes, I guess a bit.
Then why did Uncle Constantine make them normal?
He wants to reassure you.
We are moving along most finely, my dear, improving every day. He doesn't know I can see the tears behind those pebble glasses. And anyway, they might be tears of joy, because we Estonians are an emotional people. I'm going to have a drink.
Allowed to?
Encouraged, Mark. Encouraged. Vodka. American, but still vodka. Oh, Marcus. Why am I being encouraged to drink and lead a normal life? Why am I being told I need no more blood tests? Why am I being conned into thinking that I've made a dramatic recovery when that test is worse than last week's and considerably worse than the weeks before?
But how did you get to see your tests?
Each week, I have to spend a penny for a specimen. I tell him I can't do it with someone in the room, even behind a screen. Oh, God, it doesn't even taste like vodka. Anyway, the old boy discreetly disappears and I rifle his desk. I have a good head for figures. Nowadays, I don't even need to write them down.
Why are these figures lower than mine?
Cortisone. Lashings of cortisone. What Uncle Constantine tells me are my little tonic pills. 2-6 times a day now. It was 2-4 times a day until last week.
May I have a look at them? Well, where does it say those are cortisone?
Nowhere.
Well, how do you know they are, then?
Analysis at an ordinary chemist. Oh, miss, could you help me? I found these in an old bottle, and I'm not too sure what they are. Oh, how kind. Cortisone. Fancy. That's a powerful drug, isn't it? I'll throw them away.
But cortisone doesn't put on weight.
Oh, your researcher slipped up there. It does with some people. If I live another year, I shall be enormous. Oh, Marcus. I'm so happy to see you. I'm such a stranger in this land. Even after 28 years, I haven't anyone whom I could call a friend.
That is hard to imagine.
Well, I could have had lovers, but after what Sebastian calls my early misadventures, aren't English euphemisms wonderful? I didn't want them. But a real friend, no. Oh, among the other refugees, I suppose I could have had some. But that would have meant swapping concentration camp stories, probably in front of Sebastian. Who dreads them? But so do all the English. Do the Americans?
Some might say. The ones who ape the English, the Easterners. But Harold, you are speaking to Marcus Vault, Lydia, grandfather Lithuanian Jewish. Most of us Americans are refugees, not necessarily from concentration camps, but something like them. Not as bad, but still bad. No, mainly we sympathize.
In this country, I learned my lesson early. At first, when I had an even stronger accent than now, people would politely ask me where I was from, and I'd say, Estonia. And then I could see them thinking, now where the hell is that? Ah, yes, Baltic states. Germans and Russians? Oh, Jesus, we'd better not ask her experiences. But some did. And I'd be silly enough to tell them. You see, I'd escaped by then. I wasn't a Russian citizen any longer. I was a British subject. Oh, what bliss. And anyway, telling it all helped. So I'd say, my father and my two brothers were killed by the Russians for being intellectuals. My mother and my aunt were killed by the Germans for having a Jewish father. And I myself... Well, I rarely got as far as I myself. I'd see a glassy stare of utter boredom in their eyes. And something worse. Oh, that sin of sins amongst Anglo-Saxons. I was guilty of bad form. Especially if, sometimes I did, I cried a bit when telling these things. Oh, damn the English. Sometimes I think that their bad form doesn't just lie in revealing their emotions. It's in having in any emotions at all. Do you like the English?
I don't quite understand them, but I like their countries, so I live in it rather than mine.
Yes, I like their country, too, and sometimes I say so, and that's bad form, too. No, Mark, in England I'm very alone. Oh, of course, I have Joey, but... But, you know, even he gets embarrassed if I only hint at what I feel for him. And as for Sebastian... No. I think I should have gone away with you when I had the chance.
I think you should have, too. Among other things, it would have saved me 2 sets of alimonies.
And you, I could have told I was dying of leukemia.
No, Lydia. If that was true, mind you... I would have told you at the proper time, not till necessary. Not till you had to know. But the doctor and I would have been in league from the start.
Yes, well, perhaps there are some English husbands who'd have behaved in the same way. It's difficult for me to say. I've only really known one. I'm having another drink. What about you?
No, I'm not. Sebastian might have behaved the same way if you'd given him the chance.
Oh, he'd have tried to, poor lamb. For a week or two, he'd have remembered his upbringing at Winchester and Balliol. Manners maketh man. And for a week or two, he'd have been quite solicitous. Do lie down, old girl. Mustn't tire yourself, you know. I'll get you your tea. Oh. Just to hear that, I sometimes almost wish I had told him. But after a time, can you imagine the boredom he'd have gone through? Oh, don't fool yourself, Mark. A long, slow, terminal illness is the worst visitation we can inflict on anyone, let alone our nearest and dearest. And Sebastian isn't the best person in the world at being bored. The glassy stare very soon and then going on for months and months. And then when I came to die, I wouldn't have enjoyed looking up into Sebastian's face and seeing relief. Oh, this is morbid. Oh, let's talk of something else. Hong Kong.
No, not yet. There's still leukemia. Now... There's no certain proof until...
I've had the lumbar puncture.
Now, would that be the sternum test?
Yes, I had it yesterday. It was positive.
You can't know that. The result wouldn't be through.
No, it isn't officially, but... Uncle Constantine's nurse is Scandinavian. Accent very like mine. I called the hospital, got the specialist secretary, said Dr. Ziegler needed a verbal report and couldn't speak for himself as the patient was in his consulting room at that moment. She swallowed it. Said she'd look it up.
Where were you?
In a call box. Scared to death it would sound off before she found the report. But it didn't. Mrs. Lydia Cratwell, positive. Very brisk voice. No, I'm sorry. Or just positive. Now you'll have another drink?
Yeah. No, sit down.
Don't be silly. Cortisone makes me feel 18 again. It's a wonderful drug. They give it to racehorses. Honestly, I've never felt better.
What's the prognosis?
Well, the books the nice librarian gives me are rather unspecific about that. Cortisone's the clue, of course. Now, they usually give it at the end, but I think this dosing is just a trial pep-up thought up by dear Uncle Constantine. Soon he'll take me off it and then only give me the full blast of it when my cue comes. And I give myself, let's be optimistic, 18 months? I'll bet you on it, if you like.
There's a man in Denver, Colorado, who guarantees a 70% cure.
Denver, Colorado.
Oh, there's no money problem.
I know, and there's no Marcus problem. There's just a Sebastian problem. And that, darling Marcus, is insoluble.
He's got to be told sometime.
When the ambulance comes. Perhaps not even then. Certainly not before.
But if this test really is positive, your doctor will tell him.
Oh, no, he won't. Uncle Constantine promised me a long time ago on the bones of St. Joseph, the most sacred oath an Estonian has.
What about the Hippocratic oath?
If he told Sebastian against my orders, then he'd break that too. A doctor must do all he can for the good and comfort of the patient. What comfort for me to have Sebastian told?
I could tell him.
And guarantee my never speaking to you again? Oh, God.
Lydia, darling, you must let me help you. You mustn't give up. You mustn't, please.
Darling, my special reading light doesn't go on. Darling, I said my special reading light that...
I heard you. What's the matter with it?
It doesn't go on.
Probably the bulb.
Do forgive me, Mark. Just two more sentences. You haven't been too bored, I hope.
No, not at all. What are you writing on this week?
Oh, that complacent old burgher of Stratford-on-Avon. God, he's so maddening. With his worship of the establishment, he makes nonsense of everything we write, don't you think?
We?
Are you a Republican?
No, I'm a radical.
Well, Shakespeare must infuriate people like us who passionately believe that no man can write well whose heart isn't in the right place.
Meaning the left place.
Which is where the heart is. Thank you, Mark. I might use that as my payoff. Well?
It wasn't plugged in.
Well, who unplugged it? Mrs. McIntyre?
Probably Mrs. McIntyre.
Oh, you must speak to her, darling. Set up the chessmen, Mark.
Now, who on earth is going to look after that if...
Say when, Mark. Get used to it, please.
I'm not saying when, Lydia. I'm sorry. Someone's got to keep a little hope going around here. You seem to have resigned yourself to black despair.
Black despair? Oh, Mark, you're becoming as woolly-minded about death as the Anglo-Saxons. Black despair? Me? Oh, darling, by coming here and letting me burden you with my secret, you've done something marvelous. And for the first time in months, I feel light-hearted. Even happy. And to prove it to you, I'm having yet another vodka. You all right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But you won't help me by being sentimental and impractical and un-Lithuanian. Black despair. Me? Oh, skull. Mm. Between the ages of 16 and 22, I had to face every day and every night the almost certain prospect of death in 100 horrible ways. 30 years later, I face a very gentle kind of death. Well, let's hope. But my books aren't frightening about it at all. To cease upon the midnight with no pain. God, how many millions of us over there during those 6 years longed for just that and didn't get it. Black despair, oh, really.
I'm sorry, only I'd sooner not talk about it too much if you don't mind.
Well, we've got to talk about it a little, or you're not going to be much of a help, are you?
Okay, but not now. You mind?
Just one thing more. You asked a question. I've got to answer it. Who's going to look after that when I can't anymore? Well, I've an idea.
I suppose he couldn't just look after himself.
Are you mad?
Hasn't he ever had to? Surely in the war.
Commission in Army Intelligence at once, and a batman. Knowing him, probably too. What are you doing over there?
Don't look just yet. But how does he reconcile all that with his Marxism?
Oh, surprisingly easily. No, I've got an idea. Now, there's a girl called Prunella Larkin, a journalist who's mad about him, and I gather rather his form too, mentally and physically. Anyway, he's been seeing an awful lot of her recently. In fact, I think for the last 3 months they've been having a thing.
So? He doesn't seem to have things much.
Unlike you, sex maniac.
Oh, don't confuse me with my heroes.
You do all right.
But what makes you think it's a thing?
Well, he's not the master of subterfuge. He takes this Larkin out to dinner. A little business chat, you know, darling. And later gets caught in the rain when there isn't any, and stays the night with his editor, who sends him a postcard the next day from Tangier. Oh, you know the form.
Oh, better. Only mine didn't go to that much trouble. They just slept out, and when I asked where, it was mental cruelty.
Now, the doctor says I must have a holiday. Now, would you take me away for 10 days?
Sure, where?
Ilfracombe's nice.
So's Monte Carlo. What's this to do with this Miss Larkin?
Mrs. Larkin, divorced. Well, he'll say, who's going to look after me? And I'll say, what about that nice girl, Prunella? And he'll jump at it. Then, if the 10 days are a success, well, later on, I can make plans accordingly. Don't you think it's a clever idea?
I can only repeat what Sebastian so often says to you. You are an extraordinary woman. All right. Now you can look.
Oh, chess pieces. Oh, they're exquisite.
They're Chinese. Nothing very grand, modern.
They're beautiful. Oh, he'll adore them. Oh, you are such a sweet, gentle soul.
Oh, Jesus, don't tell that to my readers or I'll be ruined.
My God, if his is as good as that, I'm going to open mine.
Now, listen, if that doesn't suit...
No, take it back.
Lydia.
Take it back this instant. Oh, I said... Take it back.
I heard you.
Oh. Oh.
Yep.
I didn't mean a word of what I said just now. I think you are an absolute horror.
Yes.
Flaunting your wealth, showing girls what they've missed by not divorcing their husbands and marrying you. Oh, if I'd been your wife, I wouldn't have let you give minks to old flames.
Well... Maybe I sensed this was special.
Oh, Marcus.
Have you two nothing better to do than hold each other? You're not even giving the poor man a chance to smoke.
I haven't seen him for 6 months.
Nor have I, nor has anyone. Darling, that lovely patent folding table of yours doesn't fold.
Well, of course it doesn't, if you leave the typewriter on it.
Oh, is that what I did? Oh, clever you.
Finished.
Well, more or less. I've fixed both the professors, and the Swan is sunk in his own haven without a trace.
Never to rise again.
Oh, there's the rub. One has to admit that the bloody old honours-hunting bourgeois could write. William Shakespeare, gent. Hard to forgive him for that. It should have stamped him a forgettable nonentity for the rest of creation, instead of which...
Didn't you get something?
Obi, Lydia forced me into that. She staged a sit-down strike.
Well, isn't an OBE what's called an honor?
I would rather not speak of it, if you please. Now, game and chess, come on. Are you prepared for your usual thrashing?
Oh.
All right, which hand?
Left.
Good. No question at all that I'm better playing red than...
What the hell? Damn. Beautiful.
Chinese.
Mark.
I passionately adore you and am prepared to live with you for the rest of my life. And what is more, I take back everything that I've ever written about your novels.
You have never written anything about my novels.
Well, your next one will get my whole five columns. Four. Oh. Pawn to King Four. So you've been reading Fischer Spassky. Mm.
You know something? I'd give $1 million to write one novel a tenth as good as your Out of the Night.
So would I. Only I haven't $1 million. These are marvelous. Of course, you can't tell the king from the queen, but when can you these days?
Are you... never going to try another novel?
It'll be telling.
Good. That means yes.
No, you said try. I've got to be moved, Mark. The war did move me, and that novel was good. It wasn't Tolstoy, like some idiot said, but it was good. Then the piece didn't move me, and that novel was bad.
No.
Listen, who's the critic here?
Sorry.
But I'm not beyond hope about the next, if I do it. The Ruy Lopez. I thought you'd grown out of that.
I've got a new variation.
Well, you'll need it. My reply to the Ruy Lopez makes strong men quake. Lydia, darling, can't you leave the ashtrays till later? It's a bit distracting, all that moving about. By the way, do you see what Mark's given me?
I'm trying to show you what Mark's given me.
Oh, what? Oh, that. What fur exactly is that?
Don't tell him. Dyed rabbit.
Mink? I see. That's very nice. Isn't that light shade just a bit, forgive me, darling, on the young side?
No,
darling, really. Oh, these are valuable, for goodness sake. I just moved pawn to king three. Superb workmanship. Where did you get them?
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong, oh, of course. Oh, Mark. I may have to give them back. All that sweated labor.
Imported from Peking.
Good.
It's all right if they sweat in Peking.
Oh, no, they don't sweat in Peking.
Or they'd be arrested.
Please, don't make cheap jokes like that, do you mind? Now, go, your move.
Sebastian? Mark wants to take me down to Monte Carlo for 10 days or so.
Oh, yes? What for?
A holiday, a rest, like the doctor said.
Well, can't you rest here?
Since you ask, no. Unless you go to Monte Carlo instead.
Yeah, well, that might be an idea. I doubt if my editor would scream with joy, though, seeing he's away, too.
In Tangier.
Yes. How did you know? Well, can you get Mrs. McHiggins to come in every day?
Not a chance.
Just as well. It'll be very expensive.
But I've got a better idea. I haven't asked her, but I think I might get Prunella to look after you.
Prunella? Prunella Larkin?
Yes, just for that little time.
Are you round the bend? There is no such thing as a little time with Prunella Larkin. An hour is an eternity. 10 days, 10 consecutive days with her, and I'd be a gibbering lunatic.
Oh, it's just that you did seem to have been seeing quite a lot of her recently.
Mrs. Larkin and I do, I grant, have certain interests in common, but they can usually be shared in well under 30 minutes. If, after those brief encounters, I should choose not to plod back to Hendon, but to sleep in my editor's flat, to which I have a key, that is simply because I am lazy and comfort-loving. It is not a matter for your prurient suspicions. If you insist on skipping off on this extravagant jaunt, I shall go to the Savoy and send the bill in to Mark. And if he doesn't pay, I shall sell these chessmen. Now, does that settle the matter?
Yes, oh, yes, oh, yes, it does.
Good. Your move, Mark. Now, darling, please. This game needs concentration. Bobby Fischer won't have a camera click 10 yards away. Much less a hyena screeching tipsily in his ear.
Sorry, I was trying to kiss you.
There is a time and a place.
Yes, I know both.
Oh, darling, go and cook dinner.
Yes.
You've already had two of those pills.
Yes, but I missed two after lunch.
Oh, what you had two of?
My tonic pills.
Oh, yes, yes, those iron things. They're very good for a mark. Put on 24 pounds.
Eight.
The move of a coward. How did we get to know each other, Mark? It was in California when I was lecturing at UCLA, but I don't remember exactly how. Was it chess?
No, it was Lydia.
Oh, yes, of course. You thought you were in love with her then, didn't you?
I think I still am.
Extraordinary. Are you still there, darling? I thought you were getting dinner.
Something tells me your dinner tonight might taste a little peculiar.
Can I help?
Sit down, Mark. Oh. It's your move. Come on.
Okay. Now, let's see.
I, but to die and go we know not where. To lie in cold obstruction and to rot. This sensible, warm motion to become a kneaded clod. And the delighted spirit. Are you making that move?
I don't know yet. Is that Shakespeare?
To be imprisoned in the viewless winds and blown with restless violence round about the pendant world. Can't keep your hand on it forever, you know, as the bishop said to the actress.
Okay, that's my move.
And a bloody silly one, too, if I may say so. The weariest and most loathed worldly life that age, ache, penury, and imprisonment can lay on nature is a paradise to what we fear of death. Yes, Shakespeare. One is forced to admit that he could sometimes sort out the words, pessimistic old sod.
I thought he was a complacent old bourgeois.
Yeah, well, he was both. That's the trouble. This move will lead to your ultimate annihilation.
Oh, yes, the Grotful variation. It has interest, if only fleeting. What made you choose that particular quotation?
Mm-hmm. It's in my article. The same man that wrote those lines also wrote, "We are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little life is rounded with a sleep." The first one's Royal Court, but that one is pure Shaftesbury Avenue. Cozy, commercial, and comforting. The man wasn't consistent, you see.
Check.
I think you have fallen right into my trap.
Hello, Dad.
Oh, are we expecting you?
No. Hello, Mr. Waters.
Hello, Joey. Say, you look 10 years older than when I saw you last.
I am 10 years older. You don't know what canvassing in a by-election can do to one.
I hear they're doing a play of yours on TV. That's great, Joey. Congratulations.
Well, I'm scared to death. Anyway, 10:30, no one will see it. I suppose there's no hope of you seeing it, is there?
Sure, I'm coming tomorrow night just for that.
Especially to see my play.
Yep.
Jeez.
Oh, it'll be great.
Do you mind not yakety-yakking with my vote-splitting son? You're playing chess with me.
Oh, who's winning?
I have him in a trap. It's only a question of how best to snap together its steel jaws.
Well, it looks the other way round to me, Dad.
Do you mind?
Sorry?
Will you kindly cease your imitation of a cobra on heat?
Faulty though it may seem to budding Empire loyalists, I prefer my game to be my own.
I just didn't want to see you lose your knight.
My knight?
Two moves ahead.
Now, a knight sacrifice might well be my plan. How'd you know it wasn't,
That's torn it.
If you're so bloody good, why don't you ever play?
I do.
I mean, with me.
Two reasons, I suppose, Dan. One, you don't ask me. And two, if I did win, you'd call me a fascist pig.
Meaning I'm a bad loser?
Meaning that anyone who stamps on your ego is always a fascist pig.
Will you kindly go away, or I'll stamp on something more painful than your ego?
I want to watch. And you don't mind, do you, Mr. Walters?
Not at all.
Lydia! The brood is here. Remove it before I do it violence.
Joey! Oh, Joey! Oh, how marvelous!
Forgive the exuberance, Mark. She hasn't seen him for 5 days.
Why didn't you let us know? Have you eaten?
Yes, Mum, and I only knew myself at lunch break. They don't need me until election day.
Thursday? And I've got you till then?
Yes, I've got him too.
Oh, don't bother, Dad. I won't be in your way.
Not till election day. Aha! That must mean your man's given up.
He's got it made, Dad. The latest poll gives him 12% over all other candidates.
I don't believe it. The electorate, God knows, can be utterly idiotic, but it's not raving mad.
Could you get your mother a little sip of vodka, dear?
I didn't know you drank vodka.
I've rather taken to it in the last hour.
It doesn't make sense. It's all Bernard Levin's fault. Centre party. What in hell is a centre party?
A party that's in the centre, Dad. That's to say, between the two extremes, of right and left.
Don't talk to me as if I were a cretinous ape who only involved himself in politics yesterday.
No, it was quite a long time ago, wasn't it? When Hitler was the devil, Stalin was in his heaven, and all was right with the world. Times have changed, you know, Dad. You old-time Marxists are out of touch.
Oh, out of touch, are we?
Careful, Joey. Did you ever have hair as beautiful as this?
Much more beautiful. But I was in an army, fighting fascism. And I was made to cut it short. That was for hygiene, you know, lice.
Did you get many lice as an intelligence officer in Whitehall?
I was speaking figuratively.
Figurative lice?
Don't annoy him. You know what will happen.
Don't flout the issue. A centre party is nothing more nor less than a gross collaboration with the enemy.
Collaboration? That's very bad. We used to get shot for that. First by the Russians, then by the Germans, then by the Russians again. It was all very confusing.
Mom, that was a long time ago.
Yes, it was. It sometimes doesn't seem so.
I suppose by the enemy, Dad, you mean the status quo.
I mean the whole rotten, stinking mess that's Britain today.
What?
Don't whisper, darling. It's very rude. What's she saying?
She says, isn't it terrible, but she rather likes Britain today.
Yes, well, she's pissed.
Are you, Mum?
Well, it's not a very nice way of... Yes, I am.
Good for you.
Oh, what about America today? That's far worse.
Far worse.
Dad, I'm not denying that all of us today, on both sides of the Atlantic, are living in a nightmare. But we want to do something.
Living in a nightmare.
Darling, are you going to sit there just repeating everything we say?
Yes, if I want to.
Yeah, you don't think a touch of light cooking might be in order?
I like this discussion.
Well, you're not making a great contribution to it.
How can I make a contribution? Join in your discussion? I don't belong to this country. I belong to where I was born, the Free and Independent Republic of Estonia. But I'm afraid I can't tell you, gentlemen, how rotten and stinking Estonia is today, because, you see, there isn't an Estonia. Estonia has ceased to exist, so I have no country at all, which I'm quite sure is making all you English and Americans cry like bilio.
Darling, you must be careful of your idioms. Bilio is very old-fashioned.
Yes, it must be. I learned it in school in Tallinn. That's our capital city. Was our capital city. So, all I'm entitled to say about Britain today is that it has been rather a pleasant place for an Estonian to have lived in. Now, I shall go and cool.
Yes, darling, very good idea.
Forgive the refugee bit, Marg. She doesn't do it much.
To have lived in, Mum? Why, you planning to leave?
I meant up until now, Joey, of course. Do you know, I think...
Lydia, are you all right?
Perhaps.
Hold up, darling. Out of the way, Joey. I've got you. Yes, darling, it's a very good idea. Sorry, Joey, but I've had a bit more experience of these things.
I'm so sorry.
Doesn't matter, darling. Now, just one step in front of the other. That's it. That's very clever. That's called walking.
Dinner. Can you tell Joey?
Yes, of course Joey can. Now, another two steps. That's it. That's it. We're doing fine.
I'm pissed. Aren't I?
Well, yes, darling, that's exactly what you are. And as a newt, I would say. It's quite a shock, Mark, after all these years, to find one has a wife with a drink problem instead of being just a drunk like me.
Oh, I love you. And I love you, Joey. And you, Mark. I love you all.
Yes, darling, that's very nice for us all to know, I'm sure.
And I love England and yes. America. Yes. Left, right, and
yes, I'm sure all parties in England and America will be delighted to hear that. We will issue a communique to both countries later. Now, if you could just maneuver your arse round this bend. That's it. That's it. Now, Mark, my move would have been pawn to Queen's Rook 3. Now, darling, two tiny little steps. Well done. Now, a little more of this foot after the other, Lark. And who knows, you might even get to like it.
Working all right?
Yes, ma'am.
And a little champagne for the occasion, I think.
That's making too much of it.
You can't make too much of it.
Here, give it to me.
Oh, thank you, darling. Oh. Nervous?
Petrified. Why only three glasses?
Oh, darling, if you forgive me, I think I'll stick to Vichy water. That ought to go in a bucket. There's one in the kitchen. Put quite a lot of ice in it. It's been in the fridge, but it will look better.
And how are you feeling now?
American vodka is terrible stuff. Now, if it had been Estonian vodka...
You'd probably be dead instead of just dying.
Very likely. Go and get that ice.
And another glass?
All right. Just a sip in your honor.
You don't suppose Dad's forgotten, do you?
Oh, of course not. He's been talking of nothing else all day. Now, go on.
Well, where is he, anyway?
They wanted him at the office. An obituary or something. He'll be well on his way back by now.
Did you call him?
Yes, and he said he'd be back in plenty of time. Mm. Now, go on, get that ice.
Okay.
Mrs. Larkin? Oh, Lydia Cratwell. I'm sorry to be embarrassing, but this is a crisis. Is Sebastian with you? I see. Well, when did he leave? That's over an hour ago. Where was he going? Oh, please, Mrs. Larkin, this isn't a jealous wife. I'm not jealous. I'm pleased, really. But this is important, dreadfully important. No clue at all. Well, did he happen to mention that his son had a television play on tonight? Yes, BBC Two, 10:30, and that's the crisis. Something worse? What could be worse? Well, he sometimes goes to his editor's flat after talking with you. Did he say anything? Meet some friends? Where? I've got to find out where he... Oh, that's terribly sweet of you, darling. Angelic of you to ask us. But I know Sebastian can't. He gets so tied up in the evenings. It's when he works, you know. Yeah, I'll get him to call you. He's due in any second. Goodbye. Oh, what a bore that woman is.
Who?
Oh, no one, you know.
Well, I didn't hear the telephone ring.
Oh, that happens to me when I'm getting ice. Oh, that's Mark. Answer it, darling.
Right here.
Hi, Joey.
Huh. Hello, Mr. Morris. Hey, you didn't put a dinner jacket on just for me.
Of course. Always dressed for a premiere. Oh, here's a little good luck token of a brilliant young dramatist.
Dramatist? You don't get called a dramatist till you're dead.
He let brilliant pass.
No, I didn't, Mum. I just closed my ears. You know, I don't think I've ever had a present like this. Oh, of course, Mum's given me some smashing things.
Oh, smashing. Nickel cigarette lighters, plastic Indian beads. Oh, Joey's going to look after Sebastian while we're away.
Gee, that's great, Joey.
Well, that's if you don't mind putting it off until after next weekend. I'm going to stay with our candidate and his family for a victory celebration.
Hadn't you better knock on wood?
No.
Isn't it sweet of him to volunteer to be my replacement?
Oh, I didn't volunteer, Mum. You had your thumb screw squeezed really tight.
Joey, that's a very naughty thing to suggest.
Well, anyway, we don't know what Dad's going to say.
Yes, we do. He said this morning that he was very impressed with how you took over last night when your mother got a little, overexcited. He said the way you coped in the kitchen was excellent.
Well, I know how to open a tin of sardines and where the chocolate biscuits are kept.
An excellent meal, he said.
And he washed up brilliantly. I would have helped, but our game went on until 2. You know, that guy's like Churchill. He'll never surrender.
He did last night, though. God, did he roar?
And he blamed the new chessmen, of course. Yeah. They confused him. By the way, what is he in there?
No, he's due in any minute.
Oh, good.
Joey, don't you think you should wear those cufflinks for luck?
Well, I haven't got a shirt. I mean, for links.
Borrow one of your father's.
Well, does that mean a tie?
Oh, no, don't betray your convictions.
What a boy.
Mark, Sebastian's lost. It's 100-1 he's forgotten.
Oh, God, no.
Now, go down to the porter in the basement. He's got a telephone. Call this number.
You mean your number here?
Yes, yes. I'll tell Joey you're reparking your car or something.
Okay. Oh, what should I say?
You don't need to say anything. I'll do the talking. Now, is that clear? My hand is so shaking with rage.
Sebastian, if after 10:30, go away until 11, and then the first thing you say is, congratulations, Joey, I'm covering for you.
Now, stick that on the outside of the front door, and surely even he can't fail to follow that, can he?
He can do some funny things.
Oh, see how I'm laughing in anticipation. Oh, tell the traffic warden you're a foreigner, Mark. That always works.
Oh, good idea.
Wait, here's the latch key.
Thanks. Won't be long.
Americans always park their cars in the middle of the street.
Well, you won't miss anything, Mum, will you?
Plenty of time, dear. Don't fuss. You want me to fix those for you?
Oh, yes, please. They're complicated.
Oh, go on. Come on, sit down.
Yeah. Your hands are shaking, too.
Yes, well, of course. I'm nervous.
Are you sure Dad hasn't forgotten?
Positive.
I hope he's not late. If you miss the beginning, it's difficult to follow.
His opinion means a lot to you, doesn't it?
Well, after all, Mum, he's one of the best critics in the world.
Keep still. Have you found a place to live yet?
Not really. God, the prices.
I know. Why pay them when you can live here for nothing? There. Now, isn't that smart?
They glitter, look.
Yes, you have to flash them around a bit, preferably under a light. I think the shirt in, don't you? Otherwise, it looks a bit like a nightdress.
Okay, Mum. The one thing against going on living here, Mum, is, well, Dad.
You mean a lot to him, Joe.
Oh, Mum. No one means a lot to him, and you know it. Not even you.
Joey, that's a bad thing to say.
Yes, it is. But it's the truth. One has to tell the truth.
Has one?
Honesty in this life, Mum, is just about the only thing that matters.
Is it?
Well, we both know that the only person who matters to Dad is Dad. Oh, come on. You've admitted that to me often enough.
Well, as a joke, perhaps.
No, it's the truth. Oh, don't be dishonest, Mum, please.
I'm sorry. It's only that, well, I still think you mean something to him, something special.
Mum, he can't wait for me to get out of this house. He said so often enough.
Well, he doesn't always mean what he says.
He means that.
Well, I'll agree, he doesn't mean a lot of the other things he talks about, like politics. He only spouts Marxist revolution as a kind of spell to prevent it happening. Like some people talk about death. You know, the kind.
Are politics all that important? Joey, if there's one thing I've learnt from a fairly hectic life, it is that things, beliefs, creeds, ideas, theories, are far less important than people. Honestly, Joey, in the end you'll find out it's only people who matter at all.
Mum, I'm sorry. I can't stay on. It just isn't possible. If it was just you... No, but it isn't.
You don't think the 10 days...
Oh, if we get through them without actual bloodshed, it'll be a miracle.
Hello? Hello, darling. We were getting worried. Where are you? Oh, you're going to watch it there. With the editor, you mean he's going to watch too?
Hey, is it color?
Is it color, Joey wants to know? Very latest, of course. Yes, I'll give them to him for you. Yes, see you afterwards. He wishes you everything, Joey.
The editor? It might get reviewed.
Oh, that must be Dad's hope, I suppose. You see, he does think of you sometimes.
Surprise, surprise. I bet that was your doing.
What?
I bet you made him get his editor watching.
No, it was entirely his own idea.
Ha ha.
Are you saying I'm a liar?
Well, I bet you used pressure.
Now, Joey, what pressure have I ever been able to bring on your father to do something he didn't want to do?
Well, there you are. You're admitting it.
What?
That he's selfish and impossible to live with.
Joey, I won't have you talking about your father like that. Do you understand?
Yes, Mum.
Especially after this very generous thing that he is doing for you tonight. Going all that way up to the city.
Yes, I'm sorry,
and
I'm
getting
sorry.
His editor to
yes,
watch.
Yes, I know, Mum. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, all right? Okay?
All right. I know that during those 10 days, you're going to find out a lot more about him.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Joey, I mean what he's really like.
I know what he's really like.
Well, so do I. And I've lived with him happily for 28 years and will for the rest of my life.
Oh, not necessarily, Mum. I mean, you never know. Someone else might come along.
No one else will come along.
Well, anyway, it's different for you. You're married to him. I'm not.
No, you're just his son.
Mum, if he'd only once lose an argument, say he was wrong, say he was sorry.
I know.
Oh, I know my next present to you, Lydia. Only it won't be a present to you, it'll be one to me. A simple hoist, that's all that's needed, labeled for Mark... Walters only. I'm on time, aren't I?
Yes, you are, Mr. Walters. Hey, 2 minutes.
Good. I wouldn't have missed a word.
Sebastian called. He's going to see it on a much better set than ours.
Oh, really? Where?
At his editor's.
Well, now, isn't that something? Tell me, Joey, what's it going to be, writing or politics?
Both. Now, you sit here, Mark.
It's coming on now.
Starting on BBC One, a little later than advertised. Match of the day.
Of course, that's what they'll all be watching.
Nonsense.
Here on two, we have a new 30-minute play in the current series, Youth Theatre, entitled The Trial of Maxwell Henry Peabody by Joseph Crutwell.
Joseph? Why Joseph?
It sounds more like a writer.
Yeah, that's a good name, Lydia. Joey's not too good. Joseph Crutwell, that sounds like something.
Thank you, Mr. Walters.
Maxwell Henry Peabody, come into court.
I wish to know why I am brought here.
Are you Maxwell Henry Peabody?
I am. I demand to hear the charge against me.
You have already admitted the charge.
How could I when I've heard no charge?
The charge is that you are Maxwell Henry Peabody. And to that charge, the court has recorded your answer. I am. Anything to say why sentence should not be passed against you?
But this is ridiculous. I have done nothing, I tell you. Nothing, nothing, nothing.
I agree, you've done nothing. Nothing to help your fellow human beings. Nothing to save the world from the abyss into which it must soon finally fall. Nothing save for your own material advantage.
And my wife's? She's the director of several of my companies.
What did you do to save your son?
My son isn't worth saving. He's a criminal, a Halloween addict.
You did nothing to save your son from his afflictions. Maxwell Henry Peabody, I hereby sentence you to the heaviest penalty which the law of humanity allows me. You are condemned to live in this world that you and others like you have made. Let the accused go free, back into that hell pit of horror which he and his like call the free world.
There! Look how big his name is, Mark. Yes, Joseph is better. Oh, darling, I'm so proud.
But did you like it?
I loved it, Joey.
But did it make you cry?
A little. Wasn't it meant to?
Well, it's really supposed to make one angry.
Oh, it did that too.
Well, congratulations, young man, on a fine achievement.
Tells this. If after 10:30 don't come in, I'm covering up...
a play by another new writer, David Ross.
Oh, hell.
Good night, Mum. Thanks for watching.
But the champagne.
No, thanks. Good night, Mr. Walters. Thanks for coming, and for the cufflinks, and for what you said.
It was good. It was real good, Joey. I mean it.
Thanks.
Oh, Lord.
You bastard!
How was it? Terrible?
Pretty terrible.
Give me a drink, will you?
What is it? Scotch?
Oh, scotch, of course. Oh, my God. I had it written down. I'd tied knots and everything. I'd remembered it at lunch. And then... thanks. After lunch, something happened. Perfect excuse, I suppose, if I could use it. Perfect. But I can't.
What was it?
Oh, I can't tell you either, except... well, I shall have to anyway. But not as an excuse. I have no excuses. I am as God made me, which is an uncaring shit. Oh, damn. Poor little devil. She'd covered up for me.
You were watching it with your editor.
He's in Tangier.
The kid wouldn't have known that.
Damn silly cover. I suppose it might have worked, though. Should have made it work. How's she been tonight? I mean, apart from turning into Muhammad Ali.
Fine, I thought.
Fine, you thought. Did you look at all?
Sure. Oh, she didn't look too well, but I don't suppose she is after her pass out last night. Hungover, I'd say.
Well, you'd better brace yourself, I suppose. Have you got a drink? You're rather fond of this girl, aren't you?
I love her.
And I suppose you're what might laughingly be called one of my best friends. Here, fill this up for me, will you?
Sure.
And are you?
I think you are what you just said God made you. But maybe I'm not all that choosy about my best friends.
Well, I'm not either. Or I wouldn't choose an ignorant, illiterate pawnmonger.
Okay, okay. There you are. I'm braced.
That wasn't a pass out last night. Not an ordinary one. It was a small stroke.
How do you know?
She's had them before. And these last months, they're getting more frequent. It's one of the things I've been told to look out for, you see. And it's one of the things you've got to look out for, too, when you take her away. I've got a list somewhere.
Surely the vodka...
Oh, yeah, that probably helped, that and the cortisone. So don't let her wallow in the stuff as I did last night. She's been off any drink at all for over 6 months, so go fairly easy out there. Mind you, the odd binge won't make much difference. Oh, here's that list. I've got the doctor's address in Monte Carlo somewhere, too.
Did you say cortisone?
Yes. She's been on it 6 weeks. She doesn't know it, of course. Thinks they're iron pills or something. Old Connie Ziegler, he's her doctor. Uncle Constantine, she calls him, an ex-Estonian. He's quite a wonder. He can get her to believe anything. Oh, where the hell did I put that address? Ah, here it is. Dr. Villore. Address is on it. Connie Ziegler called him this afternoon, so he'll be wise to the situation, as your horrible phrase goes.
Could you perhaps put me wise, too?
I suppose so. I've been trying to put it off. I can't put it off any longer, can I? She's in the terminal stages of leukemia. Sorry, I had to tell you, you see, because old Connie Ziegler wouldn't have let her go otherwise, unless I was along. I'm well briefed, you see. What's that dreadful drink you have?
Bourbon. Did you say terminal?
Yes.
How long does that mean?
Oh, 3 or 4 months. 6 at most.
Are you positive?
That's just the word, I'm afraid. This came from Connie Ziegler by hand to the office this afternoon. He'd had it early this morning from the hospital, but couldn't call me because of Lydia. It's conclusive. Lymphatic leukemia.
So that's the something that happened to you after lunch.
What? Yes. That. But I'd expected it. Connie hadn't given me any hope. He hasn't really for the last 3 months.
Who else has she seen?
The best in the country. She doesn't know it, of course, but every man who looks her over in that hospital is hand-picked. Of course, they're casual with her. Don't give their names. But they've all been by courtesy of my kind Sunday paper. And all top boys on leukemia.
There are cures.
Oh, yes, yes. There's this man in Denver, Colorado, who boasts a 70% rate. But he's cagey. He won't take a case as advanced as this.
How do you know?
Well, I've asked him. I gave him all the facts and figures on the telephone and got our medical correspondent to talk to him, too. No go, Mark. He won't risk that 70%.
There's another man in Carl's room.
I know about him, too. He's just a phony. Christ, Mark. I haven't lacked for advice. If there'd been the faintest chance, I'd have taken her to Timbuktu and told her I was covering Saharan literature. I'd already got my story ready for Denver. Induce some wretched little local college to offer me a resident lectureship. Jesus, imagine that. Now, Winnie Slobovitz, stop groping your neighbor and listen. Balzac, as you are pleased to pronounce him, is the name of an important French writer and not an occupational disease. I'm sorry, Mark. My jokes are so feeble these days, it's a wonder she hasn't seen through them. And me. But she hasn't, thank God. I mean, you've seen her alone. Does she have the faintest suspicion I'm concealing something from her?
No.
Swear?
Swear.
Yes, I'm quite good about never remembering when she's been to the doctor, getting his name wrong, and never noticing when she's feeling ill. Also, never on any account saying, look, I'll do that, darling, don't you bother. Can you imagine anything giving the show away quicker than that?
Frankly, I can't.
Being one of nature's shits does have its advantages when one's dealing with a dying wife. I want to show you something. Will you say hello, Lydia, very loudly if you see her on the stairs? I keep these hidden in this hat box. Copies of all her blood counts from 6 months ago. Connie sends them to me at the office every week. I can't keep them there. Too many nosy parkers.
Can't you find a safer place than that?
She goes round this flat, prying into everything. Even the notes for my new novel, which I carefully hid from her in my Gibbon's Decline and Fall.
She got her nose into those yesterday. Dusting, she said. As if anyone would dust Gibbon without criminal intent.
A drawer with a lock.
Oh, if I had one, she'd pick it. Now, look up there. Clever, don't you think? I borrowed the idea from Edgar Allan Poe.
Mightn't she want to dust the hat?
Don't be a clot. It was a topper to go to the palace in for that OBE thing. And I gave it to Oxfam the next day. No, I keep the hat box up there as an ornament. Anyway, I've worked it out. Neither she nor Mrs. McHiggins can reach it. Clever, I think. I wasn't in intelligence for nothing.
Sebastian, are you quite sure you shouldn't tell her?
I'm quite sure. For 6 long years, she had nothing to think of but dying. Now that she is, I'm not letting her go through it again. And besides, if she had any inkling about it all, she'd worry herself sick over Joey.
Not over you?
Over me. Why should she worry herself over me? She knows I can look after myself.
Does she?
Well, what with Mrs. McHiggins and maybe Prunella.
You said yesterday
that... Oh, yes, yes. I laid that on pretty thick for her. Prunella's all right. She's no Lydia, but she's all right. No Lydia. You've got to put up with this a bit, I'm afraid. Self-pity, of course. You see, the thing is, Mark, I didn't begin really to love her until I knew I was losing her.
That happens.
Perhaps more to uncaring shits than to other people. Like you, for instance. You've always loved her.
Yes.
And I've only had about 6 months. Oh, my fault, of course. Anybody but me would have started 28 years earlier. No, Lydia. You'll come no more. Never, 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 never. Oh, damn. I'll never review that bloody man again. I won't review anyone. After all, they all get under your skin somewhere, if they're any good. No, I'll write my own sob stuff, that's what I'll do.
Good idea.
And I'll sell 10 million paperbacks in advance.
Why not?
Without one single power mad tycoon. Just me and her. Well, changed, of course. But the same balance. Gratitude and duty on one side, taking for granted the other. The whole adding up to something too late. And then... I suppose you'll have to be in it as the escape she refused. Not as you are, of course. No one would believe that.
And Joey?
Yes. Liberal Joey, I suppose. The new assenting young...
Oh, God, the poor little sod.
He worships his mother. Too much, I suppose, but you can't blame him. Yeah. He's going to be quite a handful after... I'll have to try. Tonight won't have helped much, will it?
You've got those 10 days.
10 days without her. I don't like to think of that much. Life without Lydia will be unending misery.
Then come to.
No, I could, but I've got to get used to... Try to get used to...
Oh, damn.
Did I feel about her like this from the beginning? Oh, it's possible, it's possible. I wouldn't allow myself to... Yes, possible. Do you know what le vice anglais, the English vice, really is? Not flagellation, not pederasty, whatever the French believe it to be. It's our refusal to admit to our emotions. We think they demean us, I suppose. Well, I'm being punished now, all right, for a lifetime of vice.
very moral endings to a Victorian novel. Ugh, I'm becoming maudlin. But, oh, Mark, life without Lydia will be...
I came to say I was sorry.
Husband Beater.
I'm apologizing.
I shall so inform my solicitors. Good night, Mark.
Oh, am I going?
No, I am.
Are you going to work? Isn't it too late?
Yes, to the first, no to the second.
Wouldn't you like some of this food?
It would turn to ashes in my mouth.
Did I hurt him? I could have hit him much harder, you know, and kicked him, too, on the ground. Queensberry rules my fanny. Is he really working or just sulking?
Sulking, I'd say. I'm going.
Thank you so very much, Marcus. Joey really did appreciate it.
How is he?
He's bad, of course. How could any human being do a thing like that to his son? How could he? What's his excuse?
He forgot.
I mean his excuse for forgetting.
About the best a man could have, I guess.
You take his side?
Yes, on this.
Well, what is his excuse?
Look, that thing up there, it needs dusting.
The hat box?
Yeah, you can see the dust from here.
But I can't reach it.
No, not now. Tomorrow, when Sebastian's out. After you've dusted it, inside as well as out, you'll just have to play it your way, both of you. And then, together or separately, tell me how I'm to play mine.
I see. He's hidden something there.
Yeah.
Something he doesn't want me to see.
You bet.
The wily bastard. Love letters?
Kind of.
You mean serious?
Very serious, I think.
Larkin, I suppose.
No, someone else.
Oh, I wish I had kicked him. I wish I'd killed him. And why are you giving him away? You're supposed to be his friend.
I'm supposed to be yours, too, Lydia. That's what's made my life these last 2 days a little confusing. I'll call you tomorrow.
Yes. Yes, please. How dare he hide letters? But I'm not going to look. I'm not a spy. Not even the Larkin girl. It's nothing to do with me. Love letters. Oh, I wish Mark hadn't told me. Oh, what the hell? I want to know.
Trying to write him a letter you could shove under his door. But it's no good. My Mandarin style gets in the way.
It would.
I suppose I better see the little sod.
What little sod?
Oh, the two in the flat. Where is he?
If you are referring to our son, Joseph Crotwell, dramatist, he's in bed.
Oh, darling, do stop sniffling. You know how I hate it.
I wasn't sniffling.
You were. Those things under your eyes are tears, aren't they? I'm not coming in range. I think you should know, I once hit a sub-editor, and he was off duty for a week, and he wasn't any smaller than you either. However, enough of that. How about Joey? What's done is done, and can, by dint of my overwhelming charm, be undone. I shall speak to him personally.
I shouldn't rely on your overwhelming charm.
Thank you.
I mean, Why not let him see you once as you really are?
I think I know a father's duty towards his son without prompting from you, madam. All right. Go and get him down.
No, you go up.
Me? Knock timidly at his door and beg leave to enter that room with all those liberal posters on the wall? Crawl across the carpet like a penitent? Abase myself like Henry IV at Canossa? Scourge myself? All right. I'll go. Seems to be asleep. Well, there they are. Tomorrow, don't you think? Why are you looking at me like that?
A cat may look at a king.
In Estonia, perhaps. In England, a cat may look at a queen. And whatever I am, I'm not that.
No, whatever you are, you aren't, are you?
Are you drunk again?
Oh, yes.
Vodka?
Something kind of headier.
You'll end up an alcoholic. Well, this sounds rather good. Who made it? Joey? No, you did.
It's my crab mousse, and you've had it a million times.
Just seemed rather better than usual.
Oh. I'm very sorry, Mum. I left you to clear up alone.
Oh, that's all right, darling. I can do that myself.
No, I'll help you.
Oh, thank you.
Darling, would you fix that draft for me in my workroom?
Oh, yes. Yes, I will.
I think it's coming from the window.
Yes, I shouldn't be surprised.
Joey, put those things down. Come and sit down, will you? Joey, I behaved to you tonight like a thoughtless bastard. I am that sometimes. And I behave like that sometimes. If you like, you can say usually or always. But tonight was the worst thing I've ever done to anyone, anywhere. I'm sure I'll do some bad things to you, Joey, in the future, if we're still seeing each other. But I can never do anything quite as bad as I did tonight.
I don't believe you forgot, Dad. I believe you did it deliberately.
I can see you'd rather think that. So would I. It's less damaging to the ego. The plain, sordid fact is that I forgot.
How could you, Dad?
I did, and I have no excuse at all. Now, listen. What I intend to do is this. I shall get the critic on our paper to ask for a playback.
Oh, Dad, this is all talk.
At TV Center. For me, for him,
Dad.
Not for my editor, who's in Tangier, and for anyone else who wants to see it.
Dad.
You, of course, too.
Talk!
And our television critic will review it. I don't know what he'll say, and it'll have to be next week, but he'll mention it in his column. I promise.
Is this on the level, or will you forget again?
I said you could insult me, but there's no need to kick me in the crutch. Now, if I do that for you, will you do something for me?
What?
Just stay right where you are and show me for once how you can justify all that hissing that goes on behind my chair.
Daddy, it's late.
Only for liberals, not for men. Go on, you be white. 50 pence on it?
I'll want 2 pawns handicap.
One.
Done.
That's not in my 12 easy openings for beginners.
Right, Dad. My game.
What do you mean, your game?
You moved your king 3 squares.
I beg your pardon, my queen. King. Oh, blast Mark Walters. These pieces are going straight back to Hong Kong. I've told him 150 times.
Pence, that... please, Dad.
What? Are you mad?
The rules say firmly
you
that...
You must play the rules, dear.
Now, you keep out of this. Go and do something useful somewhere. Or better still, go to bed.
Yes, Mum, we'll clear up.
Yes, Joey will clear up.
Give Joey his 50 pence.
Oh, go to hell, both of you.
Oh, charming. Thank you, Dad. Loser, isn't he?
Loser my foot. I didn't lose. I made a tiny human error in laying out these monstrosities of chessmen.
Good night.
Oh, no, my boy. Oh, if you think you're taking that 50 pence of mine to bed, you're making a big mistake. Come on, come back. Start again. Oh. Double or quits.
Okay.
Same moves, but this time with the right pieces in the right places.
Right.
Well, good night.
Oh, good night.
Don't jump up and down, Joey. It's distracting. You can say good night sitting down, can't you? Good night, old thing.
Good night.
I'm afraid your liberal leader is coming under a little pressure.
Well, your Mao Zedong doesn't look too happy either, Dad.
What? Oh. Yes, I can see you've played before. Well. Do you know, those 10 days without her might be quite fun. Oh, sorry, darling. Didn't see you were still there.
I know you didn't.
Go on. Go on, move, Joey, move. We haven't got all night. Except, I suppose, we have.
That was In Praise of Love by Terence Rattigan. Sebastian Crutwell was played by Anthony Quayle, Lydia by Muriel Pavlo, Joey, John Bull, and Mark Walters, Robert Beatty. The television announcer was played by Brian Carroll, and the television actors were Godfrey Kenton and Danny Schiller. The play was directed by Peter King.